In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Last week I asked you to contemplate and to endeavor to put into practice a sense of detachment from the world and worldly things, so that you're attached to the things of God. The enemy only provides distraction from God, so therefore the imperative is to be true to Christ by placing Him first in your life. There's so many things the enemy uses, even the anticipation of the feast of the Mass of Christ, Christmas. He would use that to create distraction, to draw our focus away from God. So the devil has many witnesses that permit him to have this kind of pervasive effect. And people begin to believe it's normal. What Christ needs now more than any, if Christ needs anything at all from us, He needs now more than any other time, witnesses. Witnesses to His truth. Witnesses to His goodness. Witnesses to the beauty of the reality of the life of grace. John the Baptist himself, also known as the precursor, he is a witness, and a profound witness at that. His whole life was about Christ. At the tender age of between 8 and 12, he left his mother and father, who were aged, so they may have died. Whatever the case, he lived by himself in the desert. He was the son of a priest, so he was a priest, but he was a prophet. And he lived like the prophets in total communion with God. So he would have no illusions about all of the traps the devil has set in the world. He would not see anything in the world as having value. He showed what detachment looks like. And because he was detached, he then was a powerful witness. So he would come into the world at this appropriate time because more people could listen to him. It was a jubilee year for Israel, and back then, before they learned about crop rotation and all the other advances that we have made, they knew that the earth needed to rest from all of the agriculture. And so for 12 months, no one would do any farming. And as a result of that jubilee year, people had a little more time than normal. Hence, our Lord would send John the Baptist at this time so that people could go out to the desert and meet him and hear him. John did not come into the world as Christ would. He stayed detached from the world, demonstrating the necessity of detaching ourselves from the world, and then gave witness to Christ by those who are willing to detach. And they will hear the truth of Christ, the truth of the coming Messiah. And not an easy truth that they want to hear, but the hard truth. Such as he says to the Pharisees and Sadducees who are coming to his baptism to try to figure out who he is, not to repent of their sins. He calls them a brood of vipers. The same thing, by the way, Christ calls the Pharisees brood of vipers. And so people want that soft-spoken, pot-smoking hippie Jesus that puts up with whatever they're doing. But that is not plausible. That is not the way, the truth, and the life. That is not goodness, truth, and beauty. And this is what gives St. John so much courage, because he knows Christ is truth. And the truth has set St. John the Baptist free. Do remember, John the Baptist was born without original sin. Remember, Our Lady was conceived without original sin. John the Baptist was born into original sin, but when Our Lady visits his mother, St. Elizabeth, and he leaps in his mother's womb, that was the Christ washing him free of original sin. So he was born without it, so he could be the last of the prophets, purified by Christ himself. So even in the womb, he gave witness to Christ, just by leaping for joy in the presence of our Lord, who was in the womb of Our Lady. At the very beginning of his life, he was a witness. And he would be a witness to Christ all the way to the bitter end, when he would not, like too many Catholics today, for fear of not being loved, for fear of not being accepted, condone sin. He was very clear about Herodias, the wife of Herod, who had left her brother-in-law, Herod's own brother, left him, and got married to Herod. Divorce and remarriage forbidden by our Lord. Too many embrace it today. But she couldn't stand the fact that he called her what she was, an adulteress. And she had him killed. And he would not back down from that because he loved the Christ. Love always fosters courage. If you have no courage for Christ, then it's clear you do not love Christ. There's without a doubt that Christ loves us, and he shows us, even at this Mass today, the representation of the one true sacrifice of Christ on Calvary Hill, we will experience as crucifixion sacramentally. We know he loves us. Why do we not love him? He had the courage to die for us, a courage that came predominantly from the fact that he loved his Father, and he who is God loves most perfectly. He is God incarnate, but a love for us as well. So consider, love fosters courage. Giving witness to Christ takes courage. Best way to do that is to start with the small things, not the large things. You don't need to get a soapbox at your workplace and stand on it and start preaching. It's not a layman's call to do that. Do it in the small things by recognizing that Christ is the way and the truth and the life. Start by giving witness to the truth, even in the small things. Yourself, avoiding any falsity, avoiding any so-called white lies, avoiding anything that is untruthful that you might say to a family member, your spouse, loved one. Avoid all deception. And then do not tolerate it when it occurs for you and to you. Give witness to the truth and be courageous enough to do what Jesus says. Admonish the sinner. Correct the sinner, especially if you love him. If you love the person that's sinning, you don't condone the sin. You actually try to correct the person. Because St. John the Baptist makes it abundantly clear, as did Christ. Christ said, you're either with me or against me. There's no middle ground. You're either serving Christ or you're serving Satan. And when you die in that state of service to Christ or service to Satan, you're judged in accord with that service. And remember, the devil hides behind self-love, pride, to make you believe that you are only serving yourself and what you're doing is harmless. But you're serving him and renouncing Christ when it involves sin. And if it's someone you love who is doing this kind of thing, obstinate sin, if you truly love them, you have the courage to correct them. You have the courage to give witness to the truth. You can build up to that if you start with the small things. Remember, the more virtuous you are, the more you recognize God's grace, not only to overcome sin yourself, but to overcome it in others. So we must start by practicing virtue. Start by giving witness always to the truth. And remember, the truth, no matter how minuscule and menial it might seem, it always is attached to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. To tell the truth in all things is always to be like Christ, to serve Christ. To lie is to serve the devil, whom Jesus called the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. Start with the truth. Remember detachment, now remember witness. Witness to the truth in small things, and you will end up witnessing to the truth of Jesus Christ in larger things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.